another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. It's the runaway train of free speech, because this bad mother don't got no brakes. And we're just going to plow forward, and you can get a ticket for that runaway train. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click onto the donate button, and send shekels. And that's it. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Patrick. And today, Mark is going to do his Dankoff report. That's going to be the show title for this end. But before I hand over to Mark, I've got an article that I was going to broadcast on the line. It's on Monday. And for those of you listening on Republic Broadcasting, you can get that show at achshow.com. But I thought it would be far more appreciated here. This is a Daily Mail article, headline, "You'll be Bubba's best new girlfriend. Female Seattle judge is reprimanded for telling serial criminal he'll be sent to prison and raped by inmates if he doesn't change his ways. A Washington state judge was blasted for telling a serial criminal he'd be sent to prison and raped by an inmate named Bubba if he didn't change his ways. Judge Virginia Amato was officially reprimanded after telling the unnamed domestic abuse suspect last August that he was on course to be Bubba's best new girlfriend in the state penitentiary. That may hopefully give you a graphic image to think about. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not, the judge said, according to a complaint. The man said he understood, and Amato continued to bestow her judge's wisdom. The folks at the penitentiary have mothers and sisters and nieces and cousins that they do not want someone out there abusing, she warned. And they will take that out on you at the penitentiary. So think about that, because you're racking up felonies at this point. And we'll go further down to bottom of the article. Though judge confirmed, it is unclear who spoke out against Amato's remarks. Though the judge confirmed she made the statements in the complaint and that they violated the Code of Judicial Conduct, she insisted that she made them purely out of goodwill for the defendant and were meant to impress upon him the need to change his behaviour. While insensitive and thoughtless, we're not motivated by bias or ill will towards the defendant, she said. Regardless of her purported intent, the Conduct Commission ruled that Amato violated Washington requirements that judges maintain integrity and impartiality of the judiciary and shall avoid impropriety and the appearance of impropriety. She received an official admonishment from the Commission, the least severe form of discipline it can issue, but it stressed the seriousness of her actions nonetheless. So that being said, we now take you back to the halcyon days of Mark's lunchtime show and breakfast show on RBN with the Dankoff Report. Take it away, Mr. D.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Dankoff Report, out of London with ACH and with my old compadre, Dr. Patrick Slattery. We've got all kinds of categories today in the news. I'm just going to mention the categories, maybe mention a couple of quick, great quotes, and then we'll open the floor to all kinds of hopefully good discussion today. Got some great quotes to share with you before we turn it back over to the guys. Sleepy Joe is in Israel today. More information on Russia-Ukraine. Immigration policy. As a matter of fact, my immigration conversation with Sputnik News on the whole question of Greg Abbott of Texas and Texas border policy, and whether or not there is going to be a formal declaration that Texas is being invaded, that is now up with RBN and also with Don Wassel's American Freedom News. And there's a great picture that Don Wassel chose for that particular conversation that I have with Sputnik News. It shows John McCain and Lindsey Graham. John has his arm around Lindsey, and they're holding hands, as I recall the photograph. Great photo, great article. Take a look at that one, as you will, dealing with the history of immigration policy as well, as it comes to the whole question of the Republican Party fumbling on this issue going back to 1986 and the Reagan immigration fraud. Yeah, we were going to have a one-time amnesty for less than 3 million illegal immigrants in the United States. That figure is at least at 20 million now, it's generally believed. Reagan's support for one-time amnesty for illegals was a great proposal. It was a bill that got through the United States Congress, but with all of the strictures against employers stripped from the bill so that it could pass. So we've gone from 3 million in 1986 to at least 20 million now. And of course, Pat Buchanan reminds us that there are 2 million that have crossed the Texas-Mexico border coming this way since Joe Biden began his so-called presidency. It is now believed, according to Buchanan and others, that 250,000 people from south of the border are crossing into Texas every month. So keep an eye on that story. Category on July 4th in Highland Park. A San Antonio alert several days ago on possible attacks on Jewish locations. The Shinzo Abe assassination. We have one for Andy. Who succeeds Boros? I've been trying to gather some information on this whole question of the leading candidates to replace Boris Johnson as Prime Minister of Britain. And boy, I tell you, it sure seems to me, as one on this side of the Atlantic, that this has become a real circus. We have some things that will be up in the show description on culture or lack of culture. There's threats and intimidation going on against the Supreme Court of the United States and pro-life centers. The pro-life people, according to LifeSite News, are going to have the guts to stage a pro-life rally July 27th and 28th. Where? In Lori Lightfoot's Chicago. Keep an eye on that story, folks. We will see how that one plays. Hispanic conservatives in Texas elections. That's another category that will come up in the course of what I'm putting together in the way of news links for this show. And in terms of recommended books, from recommended books, we'll jump back into great quotes and then we'll throw it back open to Andy and Patrick again. We have some great quotes, folks. Joe Biden, speaking from his bully pulpit, tells us a story. It's a story that absolutely has no corroboration, by the way, whatsoever, although it first appeared in the Indianapolis Star. No one in the state of Ohio has heard of this particular story, including all of the agencies that would have been presumably involved in it. But nonetheless, the president tells a story about a 10-year-old girl allegedly raped in Ohio who goes to Indiana to secure an abortion. And Joe Biden basically says that this brave 10-year-old girl made that trip in order that she might terminate the presidency and save her life. That's President Joe Biden today. Jill Biden, the First Lady of the United States, was here in San Antonio yesterday. She's now in hot water for referring to Hispanic Americans as breakfast tacos. So those are two of the great quotes from the Bidens. And then we'll get into some serious work from serious scholarship. David Irving, Hitler's War, which I'm working my way through. The very first page, the introduction, has a terrific quote in it where David Irving says as follows. To historians is granted a talent that even the gods are denied to alter what has already happened. Think about that quote, folks. There's plenty of that going on. That is from the opening of David Irving's introduction to his book, Hitler's War. And then here's one that will be up under books, and also we'll make reference to it perhaps in the show description under culture. Carl Truman of Westminster Theological Seminary and Grove City College fame has written a book entitled The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, Cultural Amnesia, Expressive Individualism, and the Road to Sexual Revolution. It's the title of Truman's book. The foreword is by Rod Dreher, the Orthodox Christian, of course, who writes for the American Conservative, among other places. This is one that we need to think about in a chapter that Truman has in the book entitled Reimagining Our Culture. In this particular case, Truman discusses emotivism. Think about this quote. Emotivism is the doctrine that all evaluative judgments, and more specifically all moral judgments, are nothing but expressions of preference, expressions of attitude or feeling, insofar as they are moral or evaluative in character. There's a lot packed into that particular statement as well. So we say today in our great quotes that certainly David Irving and Carl Truman beat out the Bidens in terms of basic wisdom and familiarity with sanity. But nonetheless, it was great to see the First Lady in San Antonio yesterday as she proceeded to refer to Hispanic Americans as breakfast tacos. So here's one more perhaps that we will mention in terms of the cultural thing. And then we'll throw it open for all of the different categories for discussion for all of the guys in the show here. Think about this one, folks. We have cultural problems in the United States. Excuse me. Here's one that Sputnik has published in regard to Ukrainian culture, another paramoga of Ukrainian culture. There is now a petition in Ukraine to replace the monument to Catherine II in Odessa with a statue of gay porn actor Billy Harrington. That particular petition has gained 25,000 votes. Now the president of the country, Mr. Zelensky, is obliged to consider it. The authors of the petition note that the Russian empress, quote-unquote, harmed Ukrainian culture and statehood. On the contrary, the statue of the American actor will, according to the petition, quote-unquote, raise people's spirits and demonstrate support for LGBT people. I think they left out Q and I and A, but nonetheless, you get the drift of that. So again, we come back to our basic categories as we throw it open for larger conversation. Sleepy Joe is in Israel. We've covered great quotes. The Russia-Ukraine battle is ongoingly. We might make reference to what the Russian strategy in this appears to be. Immigration policy, July 4th in Highland Park. An alert in San Antonio over this past weekend on possible attacks on Jewish locations. Shinzo Abe's assassination. Who does succeed Boris Johnson? Questions about culture, both in the United States and Ukraine and elsewhere. We can already hear the toilets flushing when it comes to those two countries. And then, of course, we've already mentioned threats and intimidation against the Supreme Court of the United States and pro-life centers. There's going to be a pro-life rally in Chicago July 27th through 28th. Interesting that in terms of these intimidation tactics being used by at least several organizations to physically accost Supreme Court justices in restaurants in Washington and elsewhere, we wonder why Twitter still has these organizations up and posting. So with that having been said, we have recommended, of course, the books. David Irving's Hitler's War continues to be a favorite for this particular week's show, and also The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self by Carl R. Truman. Gentlemen, let's throw it open for conversation. Andy, I might ask you one question and then see if Patrick has anything out there on the Shinzo Abe assassination, since he's been researching that one. Andy, in terms of Britain, who succeeds Boris? What's going on with this?
Well, thank you, Mark. Before I answer that, I've just got one quick observation.
Hey, I have a question. I have a quick question.
Sure.
I'm assuming that whoever succeeds Boris will not be a breakfast taco. Will they be a lovely curry?
Well, that's something I can certainly get into. I've got the latest runners and riders, but beforehand, I've got one quick observation. It makes one wonder who got that 10-year-old girl pregnant, if Joe Biden knew her. But anyway, that having been said...
Well, she has shown great courage in her decision to travel across straight lines in order to, quote-unquote, terminate the presidency and save her life.
Again, it makes one wonder if that was a... Go ahead, Patrick.
Didn't Hunter refer to his father as a pedo?
Something I was listening to recently released. Yeah, I think he said he was called Pedo Pete or something like that in emails or something. I think that was the name that I got. So, you know, obviously the apple didn't fall far from the tree in Hunter's case. But this is Tuesday as we're recording this, folks. It's 9:20 a.m. US Eastern Time, which is 2:20 p.m. UK. And the Mail Online reads headline, "Can anyone stop Rishi?" That's Rishi Sunak. "Priti Patel pulls out of Tory race." Now, she was a main runner because she had the fourth top job in the government. The way the government is you've obviously got Prime Minister top job, Boris Johnson. Chancellor of the Exchequer, probably second top job, which was Rishi Sunak. Third top job is Foreign Secretary, which is like your Secretary of State. And that is Liz Truss. And then the fourth job is Home Secretary, which is Priti Patel. And Priti Patel was running, and now she has pulled out, and she hasn't said who she's going to back, but she was obviously one of the most senior members to run. Rishi Sunak has got 44 people backing him. There's somebody who I haven't heard of called Penny Mordaunt, and she's got 26 people backing her. We've got Tom Tugendhat, who's got 21 people backing him. Now, I think that he could be the actual leader. And the reason that I say this is that at the recent Bilderberg conference in America, Tom Tugendhat and Michael Gove went on behalf of the British government. And so, of course, Michael Gove has ruled himself out. So that would leave just Tom Tugendhat as the Bilderberg guy this year from the UK, which is why I think he's got a good chance, because we know that... Bill Clinton was there, I think, in 1990, just before he got the presidency. We know that, I think that same year, Gordon Brown was there, and I think he was lined up as a future UK Prime Minister, but then Tony Blair popped up, and he actually was there a couple of years later than Gordon Brown was. But, of course, Tony Blair ended up becoming Prime Minister, but he did hand over for one term to Gordon Brown. And then you've got Jeremy Hunt with 15 backers. He was the guy who has been Foreign Secretary before. And in the last leadership race, which obviously Boris Johnson won, you get down to the last two, and it was Jeremy Hunt against Boris Johnson. So, obviously, he's been out of frontline politics for a while, and I guess people are sort of somewhat moving on. But you can never tell sometimes. I mean, when Theresa May was left... it was between her and Andrea Leadsom. And I've never heard of Andrea Leadsom. I might have heard the name, but she was the last person that you would think would be left in a two-horse race. Because the way it works, just to explain, and I'm sorry if I'm going on, is that essentially The MPs, the Conservative MPs, keep voting, and each time someone comes last, they drop out. And then, when it gets down to two, the paid-up Conservative Party members, you know, the man on the street who, you know, is a registered Conservative Party member and pays their subscription or what have you, a bit like in America if they're a registered Democrat or, you know, Republican, they get sent a postal vote and they fill it in, and that then decides between the two. But I was always suspicious of how Theresa May got in, because Andrea Leadsom was asked a question as to whether she thought that the fact that she had children would make her a better prime minister. And she said, well, you know, I understand raising children, the importance of family, so I'd say yes. Then, of course, the press turned that on her as if that was some sort of personal attack on the fact that Theresa May and her husband couldn't have children. And then, due to the media pressure, Andrea Leadsom decided to step back away from that, which to anyone else's mind would mean, well, the person who came in third should then take her second place spot, and the Conservative Party members get to vote on between first and third. But for some reason it was, oh, that means it's just Theresa May left, so she automatically got Prime Minister and leader of the Conservative Party without even having to get the electorate to vote, the Conservative Party members to vote on her. So I was always suspicious of that. So I hope that that's helpful to you. I'm going to hand back to Mark now to carry on.
Very good. Patrick, we've had some interesting conversations about all kinds of things related to domestic violence in the United States, violence abroad in various places. I saw a story today on CNN that suggests that in the twisted mind of this assassin, that there this assassin thought that in some way the former Prime Minister of Japan, Mr. Abe, might have had some sort of a link to the Unification Church of the late Sung Myung Moon. Have you seen anything on that in the American press where you reside? What's the story with this?
Well, actually, I believe that Abe's wife was a member of the Unification Church, otherwise known as the Moonies.
Yes.
So I believe that's the case. Then also there is another connection. Abe's grandfather, his maternal grandfather, was named Nobusuke Kishi, and he was known for a couple of things. One thing was he was the prime minister from 1957 to 1960, and he rammed through a very unpopular, at least at the time, unpopular mutual defense treaty with the United States, which is the legal basis for the American military installations in Japan that are still there today. He resigned immediately after ramming this through. You know, there were massive demonstrations. That's one thing he's remembered for. The other thing that Kishi was remembered for is he had been the top bureaucrat at the Ministry of Munitions during World War II, and the Americans imprisoned him as a Class A war criminal. I think that's Victor's justice. But he had been, while he was in prison, he became close to another former politician who wound up getting a monopoly on the motorboat racing gambling industry, somebody by the name of Sasakawa. And you may have heard of the Sasakawa Peace Foundation and things like that, but Sasakawa described himself once in a conversation as the world's richest fascist. And he was close to, he together with with Chiang Kai-shek, the Chinese president who fled to Taiwan, and with Syngman Rhee, the South Korean president in the late 40s and 1950s, the three of them started this anti-communist league. And here's where I get to the punchline. One of the things that the anti-communist league did with Sasakawa's money was fund the Unification Church, because it was very anti-communist. So there's this connection.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
With Sasakawa's money was fund the Unification Church because it was very anti-communist. So there's this connection between Abe and the Unification Church through his wife being apparently a believer, and then the other through Abe's grandfather's very close associate, Sasakawa, being the major funder of the Unification Church, at least in the early days. So,
wow, I bet they all get free subscriptions to the Washington Times.
Yes. One last thing, though. There are these rumors going around, and actually I do not put weight in them, but there are these rumors going around that there was that Abe wasn't killed by this homemade gun, but rather by a sniper, that there was a sniper involved. I'm just reporting that. From the videos I've seen, I think it is entirely plausible that this homemade gun, which was, you know, making lots of smoke and lots of bangs, that it could have done the job. You know, the first shot missed, the second shot seemed to hit him. Abe's reaction seemed to be in sync with the second shot. So I'm assuming that is what killed him. I don't really think there was a sniper. And as far as motive goes, you know, crazy people can have crazy motives. If you started thinking conspiratorially, though, you'd have to think about who benefits, and that's a whole nother story.
Who do you think? Well, let me ask you one question about the shooting itself, and then we'll get into this whole question of who benefits. As far as the shooting itself is concerned, and assuming that this homemade weapon was the actual weapon that killed Mr. Abe, what kind of range is this kook thought to have been shooting from? And was he shooting from an elevated position? Was he directly behind the guy? What was the range from?
He was directly behind him, maybe 10 yards.
No, 10 yards.
I don't think it was any more than 10 yards. The these speeches, it's not like a giant Trump rally. These speeches are done in front of train stations, and this didn't even seem to be a particularly large train station. Abe was standing on the ground. Sometimes they say he was on a stage, but he was on the ground in a little rotary, you know, where people would normally pull up their cars and drop off people at a train station. And there wasn't a particularly large crowd. These types of speeches are really aimed at getting local media attention. And so a member of his party that was also a member of his faction of the party was contesting in this upper house election that they had on Sunday. And Abe was making a speech in order to get the, you know, the local news media there to get some, you know, good coverage of his, you know, his associate. And so typically, you know, you if it had been done in Tokyo, maybe there would be hundreds of people. You know, it's midday, people are changing trains, but in a place like this, kind of out of the way place in not a prefecture, there were probably only dozens of people, maybe 50, maybe 100. And so he got quite close. And there's a lot of criticism of his security detail, which would have been very bare bones. And, you know, typically these, because there's not a lot of crime, there's not a lot of guns. But there, I mean, from time to time, there are assassination attempts. So he did have some security detail. But, you know, getting up that close, getting within 10 yards. Yeah, somebody could get within 10 yards easily. And this was basically a homemade shotgun. You know a lot more about firearms than I do, Mark. But if, you know, if you're within that kind of range and you have two shots, what do you think?
Well, yeah, geez. And that's incredible to get this nailed down in terms of, because I found myself thinking, you know, this gunman firing from behind him, you know, where, you know, exactly where was the guy? What kind of range did he fire from? Given the fact it was a homemade weapon, but boy, at 10 yards, Free Force of the State of Texas would have had weaponry probably made at home that would have done the job, if you'll pardon that expression, in this tragic case, in this situation. Well, that's who benefits, Patrick, in your view. We have to ask that dreadful question. Cui bono? How good is my Latin? Who benefits?
Yeah, I mean, my Latin has a French accent. I would say qui bono, but I guess it's cui bono.
Yeah, it's like, well, when I'm in an Asian restaurant, I have to fight not to order lo mein, thinking of German. Anyway, who benefits?
You don't, or the other dish, mein Kampf. You don't want to order that either. Well, maybe you do.
Yeah.
But at any rate, I mean, who benefits really is Zio, you know, the Zio neocons. That's who benefits.
How so? Because, I'm not disagreeing. I'm drawing you out here. How so?
Well, because, yeah, excuse me. Abe was what I call a fake nationalist. And I don't really want to speak ill of the recently departed. That's not my job here. But Abe was, you know, like Tucker Carlson. He'll talk about all these real problems and then blame everything on the Chinese. Now, you've got a country in Japan where you've got Tokyo is surrounded by American military bases. Okinawa is overwhelmed with American military bases.
Anytime you're feeling lonely, anytime you're feeling blue.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie: great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
President Biden wants Congress to legalize abortion. Yesterday, Biden said he doesn't have the authority to reinstate Roe v. Wade, but urged Congress to pass a law making abortion legal at the federal level again. The White House staff is still investigating using a public health emergency to reinstate abortion access. Biden also called on pro-abortion protesters to keep protesting and keep making your point. Biden did not condemn the protest at justices' homes, which is illegal, the assassination attempt on a Supreme Court justice, or the violent attacks against pro-life organizations. Come to think of it, did he ever condemn the George Floyd riots? I'm all for legal and peaceful demonstrations and protests. However, vandalism, firebombs, and assassination attempts are crimes, not protests. No matter your opinion, the First Amendment only protects your right to peaceably assemble. Until tomorrow, see this Possum Parabellum.
You say you want me back again. That's the time I'll come back home to you.
Tokyo is surrounded by American military bases. Okinawa is overwhelmed with American military bases. Now, the military bases in Okinawa are pretty close to China, and they are viewed as a threat by the Chinese. You know, there's an awful lot of military installations there. And don't think that they don't have nuclear weapons deployed, that the Americans don't have nuclear weapons. The Americans have never said that they have nuclear weapons, but there was an aircraft that rolled off an aircraft carrier once off the coast of Japan, and when it was retrieved, it was armed with nuclear weapons. So they do bring nuclear weapons in and out of Japan, even though it's never been announced. And Abe, so, you know, the Japanese people over the decades have gotten tired of constantly apologizing to Japan and Korea for World War II, as well they should. And you know, one might even ask, if you looked at all the countries involved in World War II, I think Japan's a relatively sympathetic country. I think it's got a more sympathetic case than the allied countries, if you were to ask me. And the Japanese people get tired of the constant groveling to other Asian countries over the war, and Abe was somebody who he would exploit that. But I still think it's a fake nationalism when, instead of, like, a real nationalist would want Japan to be independent again, and to be independent, you have to get rid of the American military bases. That's the only way you're going to be independent. Japan has been an American satellite for the past 77 years. Is that how many it is? I think so. And
yes.
Yeah, 77 years. And so it's a fake nationalism. And so the result of the assassination was 2 days later, you had this election, and I believe the Liberal Democratic Party, Abe's party, got a better result than it otherwise would have, got a few more members elected than it otherwise would have, and now has between itself and its allies and, you know, like-minded parties not in its coalition, there's seems now to be a two-thirds majority in both the upper house and the lower house for revising the Constitution. Specifically, Article 9 of the Constitution, which where Japan renounced the right to wage war. Now, that Article 9 has been reinterpreted by the courts and the government so many times that it really doesn't bear any resemblance to the words I just spoke, because Japan does have a large military, and it's been engaged in, you know, to an extent, in support operations in Afghanistan. They had I guess refueling boats in the Bay of Bengal that American planes flying missions over Afghanistan would refuel there, stuff like that. They've been doing things, but Abe's ambition was always to make Japan what he would call a normal country, what we would call a country run by Jews, frankly. I mean, his goal for Japan was to be like Germany or France or Italy or Britain, you know, another country that would just go off to Afghanistan or Iraq and be one of the gang, which is, when you look around at what's going on in 2022, that's a really stupid thing, because that gang is, there are new kids on the block. Anyway, I think I've been talking for long enough. I'm going to kick it back to you guys.
Very interesting. Well, this is interesting analysis, just watching this thing, trying to get into the whole question of what really happened in that circumstance. And Patrick, in your own mind, and I know I'm asking you to go out on a limb, the answer, you know, but I always think when something like this happens to a politically prominent person, that one can never exclude the possibility of conspiracy. Do you think there could have been or was a conspiracy in this case to remove Mr. Abe, even though he is an ex-prime minister? Or do you simply attribute this to a lone nut situation scenario?
Yeah, I mean, he was an ex-prime minister, but often ex-prime ministers in Japan become kingmakers. And he was the head of the largest faction in the party and potentially a kingmaker, although in the election for party president, which, as is the case in Britain, goes on to become the prime minister. They had an election in September last year, and his favored candidate, Sanae, what's her name? She's had a lot of creepy plastic surgery. I'll just leave it at that. But she came in third place, so he wasn't able to. He has not been successful as a kingmaker as of yet. But you know, it is plausible that there could be forces that decided, well, okay, we can you know, gain a sympathy vote for him. We can you know, get a lot of public sympathy, because one other thing to change the Constitution is also a national referendum, and so you'd also have to get a majority in a national referendum. It's plausible, but I don't think that's the case. I actually, at this point, I don't see any reason to think that it was anything other than this deranged lone wolf. Those people exist. That's what it seems like to me at this point. But, you know, there are people, even pretty prominent people who in Japan, who are willing to consider conspiracies and snipers. And, you know, even if it wasn't a sniper, you know, there is also the possibility that, you know, you had an intelligence forces that basically set this guy up. You know, just like we have this in the United States, where they, you know, you find somebody on the internet who seems like a loony, and then you use some suggestions, and so it's possible, but I don't think so. I think it is probably just what it seems at this point.
Yes,
I mean, it just hasn't reported. Yeah.
Yeah, plenty of kooks out there. And, of course, we know in the United States how true that is, including these events in Highland Park, Illinois, where I used to live, by the way. When I was in seminary in Chicago years ago, I lived two blocks from where this Highland Park shooting took place. I was living on Green.
Or was it Highland Park? What is the neighborhood around the University of Chicago? Isn't that
that's Hyde Park in the south? Yeah, completely. That's South Chicago. Hyde Park, far tougher neighborhood around the University of Chicago. Highland Park, Illinois, is a North Shore suburb of Chicago. Heavily Jewish. A lot of money there, and in a community historically where no one would ever think about something like this happening. And years ago, I lived, as I was mentioning, two blocks away from where this tragedy happened on the 4th of July. I was working as a kind of a resident assistant on site for a facility for developmentally handicapped folks while I was in school. And so in this July 4th situation, again, as it has created more fervor for the banning of firearms or certain types of firearms, questioning the validity of these red flag laws when it comes out that there was a lot of domestic violence and discord in this kid's family, yet his father signed the papers for him for the weaponry that he obtained. I mean, it gets into all kinds of things. We won't go any further down that road, but at some point I'll have some news listings up for the show on Highland Park, and we will see how this goes. By the way, breaking story here, Jerusalem Post. I haven't had time to digest this because I've been very interested in Patrick's conversation about Abe. But the United States has assassinated ISIS leader in Syria, Maher al-Aghal, according to CENTCOM. So that story is out there in the Jerusalem Post. We'll keep an eye on that one. And where do you guys want to head next? You want to head for Russia, Ukraine?
I've just got a quick comment.
Sure.
I'm not sure, you talk about Highland Park, but I don't know if Highland High School's anywhere near there, only that's where Beavis and Butthead go to school. But the other thing I was going to mention is that I appreciate Patrick not speaking ill of the dead, as I think we should save that for our memorial show to Joe Biden. Back to you.
Yes, and, well, I was going to say I was going to make a reference to something involving Zelensky, and then I thought better of it. I'll mention that joke off the air so that this show isn't pulled from circulation. But at any rate, maybe we better head for the Russian-Ukrainian situation. Two things: Sergei Polatayev. I hope I have done justice to his name. This particular person is the co-founder and editor of the VATFOR project, VATFOR. He has written an excellent summary from the 7th of July on this conflict between Russia and Ukraine. He claims that by fall, the result of the first phase of the Ukraine conflict will be clear. What comes next is up to the West, he says. Now, in terms of what he has said in this article, which will be in our news links, this is an excellent article, folks, because it is absolutely readable and well organized, so that you don't have to be a military expert to read through this in a conjunction maybe with the maps that South Front publishes to get a sense of what Russian strategy is and has been since the 24th of February. Now, according to Mr. Polatayev, and this dovetails with what we've been hearing from Mercurius at the Duran, the basic plan, there are a number of options presented here as possible options for the Russian strategy between now and the end of fall. It would appear at this particular point, of course, that the last phase of this fighting will be in the Slaviansk-Kramatorsk aggregation, and once that falls, presumably, that would be it in terms of the complete Russian possession of the Donbass. So there are several options in terms of the next major offensive, and our Mr. Polatayev covers those. Take a look at that story. But I'm asking a question here, folks, a question for both of my co-hosts today. We have in Belarus, President Lukashenko, being quoted today by Pravda as indicating that he is in possession and that he has talked personally to Mr. Putin about this. Mr. Lukashenko is aware of a very concrete plan on the part of NATO to attack Russia through Ukraine and through Belarus. Now, let's hope that this doesn't become a reality. But gentlemen on air here, are we dealing with a circumstance where rather than pulling back, rather than doubling down, or rather than pulling back from insanity and working on a negotiated settlement to this most dangerous situation, is the West doubling down? Is Biden doubling down? The EU and NATO doubling down on idiotic policy? Are they going to become desperate enough as Russia continues its methodical advance to actually involve NATO and the United States and the EU in a more overt war with Russia? What are the possibilities on this thing?
Patrick, do you want to take that
one? I'll take it first. We don't have the smart people in charge. There is a Jewish A team, or a Jewish dominated elite A team, and we've heard from them. We've heard from the likes of Kissinger and Chomsky and Jeffrey Sachs, and they all seem to think that this isn't a good idea. That this war has not been a good idea, and there's no military way out. I'm of the perhaps optimistic opinion that it's only a matter of time before Zelensky's own generals, who I can't imagine there are very many Jews in the Ukrainian military, and I think at some point, I'm sure this type of thing is not easy to pull off, but I'm sure at some point there are going to be patriotic generals who say, continuing this war is only going to lead to more dead Ukrainian troops, dead civilians, and greater loss of territory. So hopefully that will happen. Would Blinken and Wendy Sherman and Victoria Nuland and their goitoy Jake Sullivan at the National Security Council, would they really want to push this? Because there's no way to stop Russia from meeting its military objectives short of a nuclear third world war where everybody loses. In other words, there's no way for NATO to win. There could only be a mutually assured destruction stalemate. That's the best they can hope for. Are they smart enough to know it? I hope they are.
Yeah, I hope so too, because history, as we all know, is replete with examples of idiocy and stupidity, miscalculation, and the law of unintended consequences. Looking at what Lukashenko said today, quoted by Pravda in this case, if Lukashenko is truly aware of a concrete NATO plan to physically attack Russia going through Ukraine and Belarus, then we are thoroughly in a World War III scenario. Interestingly enough, Patrick, Vladimir Putin has basically said very calmly in the last couple of days that if the West is interested in a more prolonged or escalated conflict, that Russia is fully prepared for that contingency. So I interpret that as meaning that Mr. Putin is got all his ducks in a row and is prepared to get this thing properly settled, at the same time that Russia is, I think, reasonably prepared for whatever happens. Is that your take?
Yeah, I think that there could be something to what Lukashenko is saying. I would hope that these are just kind of the provisional plans that are probably drawn up for all sorts of contingencies, and that nobody seriously is thinking about implementing them. And no doubt the Russians have counter plans to such contingency plans, and I think have every reason to be confident in their ability to execute their own counter plans should it come to that.
Yes.
But I'm not.
Well,
I'm
we
not
will see what happens. No, neither am I. But Poletaev's article in RT pretty much dovetails with you know, what Mercurius has been telling us to the Duran in some of his videos. And that is that, you know, by fall, perhaps late fall, we are likely to be looking at a situation where the Donbass is completely under Russian control. The only question from there is where whether or not the Russians, say, for example, move on Odessa and move on Kharkiv. And I suspect that they will, but we'll remain. We'll have the time to see whether or not my prophecies on this as a non-military expert come true.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think the only thing that would stop that prophecy from coming true would be if within maybe the next week or so the Ukrainian generals execute my prophecy. Then they might be in a position to sue for some sort of peace that doesn't involve sacrificing Kharkov and Odessa. But if this goes on, then why wouldn't?
Well, in 1814, we took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we met up with the British near the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British...
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hounds couldn't catch them down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
That doesn't involve sacrificing Kharkov and Odessa. But if this goes on, then why wouldn't Odessa and Kharkov wind up being absorbed by Russia?
Yeah, exactly. So I think you're onto something there. We've heard these reports, unconfirmed, obviously, but ongoing rumors and reports of major difficulties between Zelensky on the one hand and members of his general military staff on the other. That bears watching. because if there are even one or two sane people on his military staff, they have to know that the longer this goes on, the worse it gets in terms of Ukrainian deaths, and the worse it's going to get in terms of a negotiated situation when they're constantly losing territory, that the Russians are going to be in absolutely no mood to negotiate on that whatsoever with everything that's happened since February. So, very good. Let's take a look at Sleepy Joe here for a moment. By the way, the Jerusalem Post has a story just published. We'll maybe cover this one in a future show. Russia's Jewish oligarchs, 4 months into the war on Ukraine, where are they now? There are 18 Jewish oligarchs identified as likely sanctions targets. 15 are now subject to them. Together, they are worth some $120 billion. Presumably, these guys may not be too happy with Zelensky either. So we will keep an eye on that story and see where all of this heads. You remember the old Mad Magazine cartoon, those of you who are American, Spy versus Spy? This is starting to look like Jew versus Jew, perhaps, in terms of how much longer this situation with Zelensky continues in terms of how many people are going to lose and who different people are who are going to lose the longer this goes on. So maybe the Ukrainian general staff will save both Ukraine and the rest of the world from any further insanity as it relates to this whole business of Mr. Zelensky and what he and his cabal have basically, in my judgment, done to that country. Here's one.
I'd just like to point out quickly that the 16 or 18 Jewish oligarchs are amongst like 200 or so Russian billionaires. It's not like the situation in the 90s where 16 of the top 18 richest people were all Jews. There are still rich Jews in Russia, but they don't dominate the way they did before.
Yes. Thank you, Patrick. The other thing I want to throw in here quickly that you may have seen, Daily Stormer, stormer-daily.rw, got a headline on July the 12th, "Come home, Slavic man. Putin offers full Russian citizenships to all Ukrainians." And they're quoting from the Associated Press, "As Russian missile struck a key Ukrainian city, Russian President Vladimir Putin signed a decree Monday expanding a fast-track procedure of obtaining Russian citizenship available to all Ukrainians. Yet another effort to expand Moscow's influence in war-torn Ukraine." So I found that to be a very interesting story. Essentially, he's offering these people a way out. You don't need me to explain that to either of you. But I think that's a pretty good tactic on Putin's behalf. So just to let you know, Patrick, I think we're coming to the end of your time. So just feel free to close it out when you want to for the National Bugle RBN audience, and then I'll close it out for mine.
Patrick, you ready to close out?
No, he's still on
the line. No, I just had a really bad boomer mic issue. Okay, I want to thank Mark and Andrew for putting up with me, and I'll be back again next time with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Barron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.